Hey, it's Mirazza. Happy Monday. I'm back from vacation. DeAndre Hopkins is going to Tennessee. All that and much more. It's the best of the DA show. Now.
We begin in the NFL, where DeAndre Hopkins was looking for a new home this offseason. Connected to a couple of teams, including the New England Patriots, but ultimately decided on the Tennessee Titans. The Titans signed him to a two-year deal. And now D-Hop, a.k.a. Nuke, ends up in Nashville alongside Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, and or Malik Willis. What does Hopkins' decision to sign with the Titans tell us? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
At the L.A. 34. Chargers showing blitz. They back off. Murray back to pass. Flag down. Pass over the middle. Caught at the 20 and a broken tackle. Hop is loose at the 10, at the 5, and into the end zone for the touchdown.
He was one of those guys that I was going to reach out to because, like, I know he got the same mindset as me. Like, we trying to go win. We trying to get on the roster and trying to go contend. So if we can't end up on the same roster and be on the same team, you know, that'll be the beauty of the situation. You know, we know what we trying to come do and what we bring to the team. So if we end up on the same roster, man, that'll be some epic.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
The voice you heard there was Dalvin Cook, who was talking about teaming up to play with DeAndre Hopkins. And before that was Dave Pasch on Cardinals Radio, as DeAndre Hopkins just wrapped up 3 years in the desert. In his prime, DeAndre Hopkins was as good as it gets in the NFL. Six times in 7 years, he caught for more than 1,000 yards. And in five of those years, he caught more than 100 passes. At his peak, 2017, 2018, 2019, in Houston, he was a 100-catch, 1,300 to 1,400-yard guy that was impossible in the red zone, too long, too rangy, too good with his ball skills, and he was a matchup nightmare for a lot of corners, defensive backs, and defensive coordinators. However, the last 2 years, Hopkins has only played in 10 games in 2021 and 9 games this past season, has not cracked 1,000 yards, in fact, had 572 yards 2 years ago, this past season, 700 yards. Dealt with the suspension for performance-enhancing drugs, and DeAndre Hopkins is now 31 years old. And so when I look at this deal for Hopkins, I don't think this is about winning. I think this is about getting the bag. And I'm not going to blame him for doing so. He's 31 years old. He may not have another big contract in him. He's wrapping up his career in terms of being one of the best of his era, and this is probably the last time he gets a big contract. So he takes a two-year, $26 million deal that could be $32 million incentives. And my take is, Hopkins looked to get paid before he wanted to win. I don't think there was a lot of suitors out there. There were some. But he opted for the money. I don't blame him there. I think the Titans overpaid. I'll be quite frank. I think they overpaid. And Hopkins saw what Odell got from Baltimore and wanted that deal. He wanted that cash. It didn't quite get there, but wanted money. And for the Titans, I mean, it's a run-heavy offense. Hopkins certainly will make that wide receiving core better. He certainly will make the offense a little bit more diverse and should make either Tannehill or Malik Willis's life a little easier. At the same time, if I was looking to rejuvenate my career, the Titans offense is not where I'm going if I'm a wide receiver. I'm sorry. You know, the Titans win a lot of ways, and they should be right in the mix again this year in the AFC South. I think the Jaguars might be a tick ahead, but they're in the conversation in that division. It's not an eminently difficult division, obviously. The Colts are going through quite a transition at quarterback for themselves. We don't expect the Texans to be very good at all. So it's probably a two-man race, a two-horse race in the AFC South. Titans are in the mix. But look, if you want to win, that's really not the place to do it. If you've got offers in the AFC or in the NFC from real contenders. But number two, how frustrated are you going to be with Ryan Tannehill or Malik Willis are throwing you footballs? I mean, let's be real here. Is Hopkins going there because he really believes in the quarterback or the offensive scheme? I think Mike Vrabel has a lot of respect around the NFL. I totally get if Hopkins likes Mike Vrabel, but you ain't going there to catch 100 yards or 100 yards per game. Catch 1,000 yards, that's not happening. So I think it's about getting paid. Again, I don't blame him for it, but I don't think it really moves the needle much in the AFC. And I think for DeAndre Hopkins' stats, it's another one of those, all right, I wouldn't expect a lot. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Astros and Angels yesterday and Sunday Night Baseball ends up being a great game as the Astros come back to win. Shohei goes yard, and it is just the perfect microcosm of the Shohei era with the Angels. The dude does spectacular things like hitting a home run to dead center field, giving the Angels a late lead. This is where they can step up or at least get them in the mix for the late lead. I think it brought them to within a run, 9-8. And then at the end, it doesn't matter because the Angels lose. And it's got to be so disheartening if you're an Angels fan to just keep watching these incredible exploits by Shohei and they can just never turn the corner. And now the Angels enter the last week plus before the trade deadline, and they're two games under 500. And with the Astros and Angels, you saw two very different franchises. One has found ways to lose. One has found ways to win. And I think from a standpoint of the Angels themselves, it makes sense to pull the trigger to trade him. That makes sense because I don't think you're competing for a wild card slot even when Mike Trout comes back. I don't know how you possibly have any faith that that's going to happen. At the same time, I'm sure that there's a terror inside those walls. If we let him go, we'll be known as the franchise that traded away one of the greatest players ever, perhaps. We traded away the modern Babe Ruth, and you just don't want that stain on your resume. And I think if you were just in a vacuum, crunching the numbers, talking about logistics, trading Shohei Ohtani absolutely is the practical decision. But the emotional one, because it doesn't happen in a vacuum, is much harder. And if Artie Moreno has designs on keeping Shohei Ohtani, I think he's really scared of trading him away now. Now, there's a very practical way that you can tell Shohei, hey, we trade you now for the stretch run. We bring back some prospects or Major League Baseball players. You re-sign with us in the offseason, and we have a better Angels team. But is that realistic? Is it realistic to trade away Shohei and get some type of guarantee he's going to re-sign with you when the team that you trade him to is going to have a head start in re-signing him? I don't think so. We talked about this last week, that the right thing to do is trade him, but that ownership might not have the guts to do it. A lot to get to this morning here on the show. This week is perhaps your last great chance as listeners to interview for the upcoming executive producer slot. Last week, we did a host of interviews here on the show. Listeners called up. We asked you a series of questions. Some people shone. Some people might have kind of got lost in the shuffle. I think last week, if anybody really popped, it might be Dana Mechanicsburg. That might be where we saw the most, I don't know, the most pop. Because who else can possibly deliver laughs like that. Who else can possibly deliver moments, impersonations like that?
Oh, yes.
And if you're going to come at the King this week, which means the open executive producer slot, you'll have to try to topple Dan and Mechanicsburg's laugh. First and foremost. And Dan has alerted me that his 3-year-old daughter laughs exactly like him. So, again, going to be a tough resume to top. But if Dan Mechanicsburg, with the Hanna-Barbera laugh.
Hey, how's it going, DA?
And a daughter that also laughs like that is in the hopper. I think that's the bar you've got to step over. But if you would like the chance, I'm open to that. And just note that there's some pressure because the man that you will be replacing is now listening. He's going to answer the phones. He's going to put you on hold. Then you have to deliver in front of him. So don't get stage fright. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right. Happy Monday, everybody. You can listen to us on hundreds of affiliates nationwide across the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network and also on SiriusXM Channel 158. We begin Soundcheck with Tyreek Hill, Dolphins wide receiver on the It Needed to Be Said podcast.
I will break 2,000 yards next year, bro. And all I'm going to say is 2,000 yards was on my bucket list to get, bro, before I leave this league. And y'all think the Cheetah going to leave without doing something he promised himself he going to do as a JIT? I got y'all, baby. 2,000 yards and another Super Bowl. We getting that. Believe that. Believe that. Thank you. Thank you.
It needed to be said.
Sorry, Tyreek. I jumped you there. 2,000 yards is actually a lot less impressive than the Dolphins winning the Super Bowl. Now with 17 games, 2,000 yards just means averaging 117 yards per game. Really good, but not impossible. In fact, Calvin Johnson hit 1964, in a 16-game schedule. So it's not impossible to hit 2,000 yards. In fact, it's going to happen at some point in time by some wide receiver with a 17-game schedule. The Dolphins winning their first Super Bowl since 1973, getting to their first Super Bowl since 1984, now that's something to write home about. If Tyreek Hill is part of the team that wins the first Super Bowl for the Miami Dolphins since Don Shula, Larry Zonka, and Bob Greasy, now we're talking holy crap. But 2,000 yards? Nice. Not impossible. The Dolphins winning a Super Bowl feels impossible, although maybe not so much considering Tua staying healthy. That's the big key. But the Dolphins, when he was healthy, were very, very good last year. Here is CBS Sports Radio host Chris Moore. Apparently, Tony Pierno was handling headlines for Chris. Tony has been known as Anthony Pierno before here on CBS Sports Radio. He's handled headlines for a number of years for my show on Sundays, Sunday Morning Football. Always a great anchor here on the DA show, or I should say Sunday Morning Football, and across the CBS Sports Radio Network. Here's Chris Moore.
I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the open beginning on Thursday. I'm also excited about the Anthony Pierno update because he's got lots of information for us. And I think it's his final one. He gets to go home, which he likes.
It's Tony. Get it right. You said Anthony.
Hey, I know your driver's license says Anthony. You might go get a pizza, Tony, but you are Anthony. Anthony. Yo, Anthony. Plus, in New York, I like Anthony. Like the rest of the country, I like Tony. But in New York, I like Anthony.
The people that owe me money, they call me Tony.
Do they? Yeah. Well, that's a small group. How about the people you owe money to? What do they call you? Hey, Moose Rocco, help the judge find his wallet. That's what we're looking at here. All right, Wall, hit the music. Let's go.
Wow, and Kevin Wall was handling the board?
That's a threesome. Who do you think gave me the audio?
Okay, so how would we break this thing down here, Bogues?
Well, I love the Pierno, alternate personality. That he's Anthony when he's cutting tape or producing, but he's Tony as an anchor. Like, I'm here for that. Two different people, same guy, different names.
No, he wants Tony on all fronts.
Emails to me this morning say Anthony. So that's still him to me.
Well, can he change that, or is that a company email?
I think you could change that. No, I think you can change your display name.
No. But it comes through as, I'm not going to give his email, his first name and last name. He can't change that. Or they'd give him probably a really hard time about changing that.
So you think that Tony wants to be called Tony across all platforms?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, as an example, our boss, I'm assuming his given name is not Spike. His right. Emails come as Spike, so you can change it.
But you can change it. It's a fair point. Change it. It was originally his real name. Our boss.
I mean,
and he changed it.
Can we acknowledge the difference between a boss and Pierno?
That too.
Okay, so are we saying that on the air, Tony's Tony, and off the air, he's Anthony? Or is
no,
he Tony
that's
all?
What I'm saying.
No, I think he meets women, he calls himself Tony.
Okay, but in the workplace...
Does he meet women?
I guess I'm asking, is Chris Moore wrong in referencing him as Anthony there? Is that a major faux pas?
It shouldn't be, because for years he went by Anthony. But if you look at a transition out of names, I know something about dumping nicknames. You got to go and you got to tell people what your new name is until they get it right. And it may come across as a jerk at times, but eventually people will get it.
You got to go corporate.
Okay, do we think that Tony is actually mad in that clip, or is he just playing along?
I think he's...
Because he's got a great poker face.
He's annoyed, but then he quickly realized, as soon as Chris Moore goes into doofy impersonation mode, that you can't... Like, how can you stay annoyed? And you're just like, oh, this doofus again. Here we go. I'm going to laugh at this.
Well, my guess is they've done this before, maybe.
It does feel like a rehearsed song and
dance. A
little
bit, yeah. So there's like a tiny bit of annoyance that Chris keeps doing it. But my guess is it's mostly tongue-in-cheek.
Pete, you were caught on camera, and you did this kind of a swatting motion, like you were sick and tired of something about that clip.
You picked three things in that clip.
Okay, rank the things that you're most tired of in that clip.
Well, the more bit off of the Tony thing, right?
And then the Anthony thing?
Anything.
The ordering a pizza thing?
And then the Tony tough guy thing. Okay. Oh, get my name right. Nah, I'm just Kevin Wall for the hell of it.
Wall being there.
And Kevin Wall breathing.
Who scheduled Wall for that shift, by the way, Pete?
I did.
Okay.
Me. That was my booking.
It's me.
Me.
Finally, speaking of CBS Sports Radio, we flowed into the Jody Mack extravaganza from last night.
And that was a good couple of years ago. He's not the receiver he once was, but he's pretty darn good, as a matter of fact. And I think he will help Tennessee actually get them into the playoffs. No, don't think so. 855-592-0. I get the number. I got callers on the line, so it doesn't really matter. You know the number. You've already checked in. Bill from North Carolina is up on the CBS Sports Radio. Right, Bill? Okay.
I didn't book that.
None of those numbers are correct.
Nope.
Actually, none of the numbers are correct.
My bad.
First, he starts off with a 215.
Yeah.
215-592. 855-592-0.
Nope. No. Here's the thing, Jody. 215 is definitely a Philadelphia area code.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at WIP's phone number. Okay. That's a mistake. That's fine. Our phone number is 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS.
592-0. Excuse me. 855-592-0.
So he realizes he's got the Philadelphia area code. That's IP. No, he does work for them. Distance. Okay. We jettison that. Then we get the 855. Now we're on the right track.
592-0.
But then he gets back into the WIP number. He gets back into the 592.
Right.
So it goes 215-592. Nope.
It'd be 855.
Yes.
592.
No.
Zero.
And then he can't finish. And like a true pro, he goes, bleep it. You guys already know the number.
I get the number. I got callers on the line, so it doesn't really matter. You know the number. You've already checked in.
That's amazing.
And the best part is that Jody's been making a mistake like this for years because he works at so many places.
Odds are he did a show in Philly before doing the show yes. here yesterday.
Odds are he was doing the shows simultaneously.
He just alternated between breaks.
Right.
During breaks here at the network, he's actually on IP.
That's how much ad sales there are locally. He only has 20 minutes to cover, so our four breaks are good.
Don't say that out loud. They give him ideas.
Jody is the king of mixing up the phone numbers. And if I'm Jody, knowing that I have to work at IP or I've got to work at the network or his three other or four other radio stations that he does shows for, every day I would print out in huge block letters where I'm doing the show and what the phone number is. Because he seems to make this mistake all the time. And I know for me, I'm paranoid when I have to do a show on the local side of things. I'm like, I can't screw up this phone number. I can't screw up this phone number. Put it in big block type ahead of me. But Jody just shoots from the hip. You got to appreciate that. He's just
215-592. Excuse me, 855.
Yes.
592.
No.
Zero. 592.
No.
Zero.
Excuse
me, 855.
I don't even know anymore.
Zero.
I'm out.
Zero.
And there's a point where he gets the second 592 where he knows he's wrong and he just kind of runs out of gas.
I get the number. I got callers on the line, so it doesn't really matter. You know the number. You've already checked in.
Doesn't matter.
He goes 215-592. No, that's wrong. 855-592. I don't know what it is.
excuse me. 855. 592-0.
No. New game. If you get the number right, I'll let you right on the air. You go right to the top of the line.
Call me up and tell me what the phone number is.
That's a new target demo.
Pick a number, any number.
Tell us where you are and what our phone number is. Target demo Sunday night.
I see they're on the ball on the weekends.
The only thing better would be if he gave historical phone numbers that he had worked on.
Right.
Here's Sportsline's phone number from 1989.
Oh, that was my number for the Mac and Mac show on Sirius. My bad.
718-937. What?
What do those old operators do? Like when you called a phone number in the 1950s, and the operator called up, then she put a plug in
yes.
the place where you needed it to go.
Do you think he ever did a show with a number who began with letters? It was like, let me call it 215-JK67.
And that's your sound check. Standing by for headlines, Mr. Andrew Bogish.
And those headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance, sponsored by Progressive. That's a typo. Thanks for screwing me up. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. A two-hour rain
delay. Give me the content, the thing I'm supposed to write about, and I will knock that out.
Didn't stop Miami fans from packing their stadium last night to officially welcome Leo Messi to MLS.
I would like to introduce to you your number 10, Inter Miami's number 10, America's number 10, the best number 10 in the world, Lionel Andres Messi.
Somewhere Eli Manning's like, ouch, man.
Yeah.
I felt that.
The best number 10 that's ever lived.
Leo, of course, addressed the crowd last night in his native Spanish, leading to adventures in live translating.
I'm very moved by to be here in Miami and to be with you. I want to thank you for all of you, on behalf of my family, for the kindness and the love and that you have given me.
Jody has more confidence in the phone numbers than that. And that is the Apple Plus MLS Extravaganza broadcast. And I'm not saying that it's not hard, but there's got to be somebody better at listening and translating than that guy.
Where's Tony Pierno? Maybe he could do it.
There is something that is charming about, in general, soccer's kind of like, sloppiness is the wrong word, but they're not always so airtight in production
yes.
and execution. It must stem from just having to wrangle so much international stuff, international broadcasts, international language barriers, international agents, international teams. So soccer always seems to kind of bleed out the sides in terms of slickness. It doesn't usually do that so well. But, I mean, it's Messi coming to the States. We've buried this on a Sunday night. We don't have a script. Can Messi just have a script to give the translator so the translator can follow along? Also, I can't really hear the translation over the audience.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's definitely guessing there. He's definitely on the fly wondering what Messi's going to say.
I just said to Pete, it was years ago, I think, in New York City where they had the sign language person was hired and didn't actually know sign language and faked it for quite a few press conferences until they finally got caught. I think they got, like, jail time. Correct me if I'm wrong. It was, like, something crazy.
Feels like that should have been packaged a little tighter.
Yeah, and not on the show yet is the beginning of David Beckham's comments were not cleanly on the air either. So he's up there. Now, he was reading off his phone his scripts.
Oh,
but
nice.
The first half of a four-minute spiel about how much he loves this and whatever is almost inaudible because, it's like, he's off mic. Yet he's holding his mic to his mouth. It was not a good night.
Also, it's Miami where things don't usually work properly anyway. Also, I'm glad Messi's coming to the States. I think it's going to be awesome. But this is the type of thing you would expect instead of some type of like highly packaged slick rollout.
Messi's first game, by the way, is scheduled to be Friday night. Soccer in Vegas.
So things got real messy there.
It's not funny.
37 minutes. I don't think
four
we had
more shows.
I don't think we had Morty all of last week.
Morty's on vacation.
And we're 37 minutes into the first show.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And he's been half naked and making bad jokes.
Welcome back. You can listen to the DA show on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network and also on Sirius XM Channel 158. And on the free apps, use the free Odyssey app or the free CBS Sports app.
I forgot, after Yard House, I scooped up a Ghirardelli Hot Fudge Sundae when the Jack Rabbit screwed me on an early big bet.
Bogues had a great idea on the PGP last week. We have to settle all bets this week. All bets are clear. Do I still owe you a six-pack of Kona Big Wave, or did I get that for you?
I thought you got me all the beer you owed me.
I think I did get you the Kona, but I think I do still owe Bogues beer from the brouhaha this year because I delivered half of the winnings to the Bob's Bar show.
Do I owe Bogues beer then?
I believe so too, yeah. Not nearly as much as DA, but you do owe me something.
Here we go.
So please go back to the videotape and let's review how much beer we owe. And if anybody has anything that Merez owes them or I owe them or we owe somebody, speak now or forever hold your peace this week.
Merez owes me a grand.
$1,000.
Yes.
For Wimbledon?
Yes. I purchased those tickets thinking we're going to go. Pay up.
So Danielle, Merez's wonderful wife, has decided to get a gift. So let's cue the music here, boys.
As she does in most cases, she handles all the gift giving in my house.
So
and everything else.
This is for me, but has been told to me that it can be used for the show all week long.
If you choose to.
If I choose to. It's a brown paper bag in a beautiful, nice little
prison themed tissue paper.
It's a flask.
Open this up. Oh, wowee!
No way.
It's a wooden box that has an etching on the front that says the DA Show Radio Trivia 2013 through 2023.
Wow.
Whoa! This is awesome!
Did she have permission to use your logo, DA?
No.
We'll license it out.
Okay.
It should be noted, Danielle got me one of the greatest gifts I've ever had. And I saved it to this day, and it is front and center where I keep all my mementos. And it is a scrapbook of the first 7 years or so of the show when I turned 40. It was my 40th birthday present. And it was awesome, this incredible scrapbook with all these cool pictures from the show and headlines and things that were clipped out of everything. It was just, like, really, really special. She's amazing at gift giving. Look at these cards. All these cards have the logo on the front and then trivia on the back.
This is amazing.
Okay, so the first card, I'm going to just take it off the top. This is great. This is so great. And I'm not even supposed to say his name, but I'm going to say it. What was the first thing Jack Stern cooked for the staff? This is from 2022. How amazing is that this is a trivia question? Would anybody like to guess?
Buffalo wings.
Yeah, it was wings.
I'm the one who gave her all the answers and questions, so.
I don't think I would have guessed wings. I think I would have said tangier chicken. But it is wings. Wings are the correct answer.
And he
there.
Never cooked tangier chicken.
Right, which would have been, that was my first thought, which would have been a whole other problem. It's not tangier chicken. He didn't make it, so.
No, wasn't it something disgusting nobody ate? It wasn't wings.
No, it was wings, and that's when we thought he was a good cook, because the wings were good. That's the twist.
Mm-hmm. And you hung to those wings. There's a time, remember, where the three of us were pushing back on Jack. And you were his number one fan, and the wings were part of your ammo.
Yeah.
Thanks. Right.
I was the original defender.
You were.
Let that not be forgotten.
People forget.
How'd that go for you?
Are you still the defender?
History.
Just so you know, those are, like, I don't know if she has them all in year order. You don't want to keep pulling from the same year, maybe? You might want to shuffle. There's 11 years worth of questions in there, 5 or 6 per year.
Here's a good one. Our board ops went from overnight Kenny Brock to evenings Planet Steve-O. And Planet Steve-O was a little bit of a space cadet. He was on his own planet. If you see the Zubaz video, Planet Steve-O makes an appearance in the Zubaz video. What guest did Steve Moralia, Planet Steve-O, book when he had his 1 week shot at producing over the summer in 2015? What guest? Did Planet Steve-O. Now, Mraz is out for vacation. Steve-O has a chance to kind of rise up the ranks, move from the board over to the producing chair, maybe, you know, impress some of the execs here. Who's the one guest that Planet Steve-O booked that week?
Don't look at me. I said on Side A this last week, I know nothing about the Steve Moralia era still of the show.
As you
so I got nothing.
You said he's a ghost to me.
Yes.
The answer is he booked Mraz.
He went 0-for-4 the first 4 days and booked me from Florida the fifth day.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Sean now books DA when DA's on vacation, so.
Final question. This is from 2018. What did Mraz think Rosetta Stone was actually called?
I don't remember this one. He knew what it did, but not what it was called?
He knew that it translated or helped you learn new languages. He thought it was called Sharon Stone, everybody.
That's right.
This is awesome! This is so freaking awesome! A whole set of DA Show trivia cards. Don't think for a second that Dixieland Dan wouldn't be playing this outside in his backyard, crushing Bush Lights and eating possum.
That was the caveat
that Daniel wanted to throw out there, that we do have the template, we do have extra cards and boxes. We could perhaps give away a game or two at the end of the week if anybody would like to win this, and you deciding how that would happen.
Wow. Wow.
I think if we did, they got to answer a question.
Wow. So that's why I wanted to give it to you Monday. Marinate on that. See if that you want to use that in any way, shape, or form the rest of the week.
I like Pete's idea. A little, like little Dixieland Dan versus Robin the 3-2-1. Best of three questions. Winner gets the set.
Oh, so we've picked out that those are the two super friends?
No, just the first two guys in my head.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is so awesome. Well, we'll have to do something about giving something away. Yeah.
Shawnee could sign the box.
Yeah. Commemorative.
Is he going to sign it as Sean Moraz or as Moraz?
Good question. When we went out to Boise and we had lines wrapped around the block for autographs, Moraz signed Moraz.
You would fail that trivia question.
Really?
I signed all three names. I signed my name and then I did the little quotes, Moraz, underneath it.
Oh.
That was my go-to DA show signature when anybody asked for one.
If you are in the Tri-State area, or just want to make a smile, as Moraz goes over to the new station and starts doing remotes, remote broadcasts, public appearances, if you could just show up to some of those and say, I only know you as Moraz, please address me as such, that would really be helpful so that the execs see what type of mistake they're making.
He's also off for some prayers, too, if you want to come and see him and pray with him as well.
The one thing I want is my name back, and you guys all like demand that.
It reminds me of those websites that sell the t-shirts that say, like, I still call it the Jake, or I still call it City Field. Right, I still call him Moraz t-shirt. That's actually not bad. That's not bad.
Bogues' headline.
First, there was a hole-in-one, then a title for Steph Curry at Tahoe.
He's got the hole! He's got a chance. Oh, it goes in! And Steph Curry is the winner
of the American Century Championship with an
Eagle. We promote the hell out of this tournament. We've had Kevin Millar on, Joe Theismann on.
Yeah.
We've had all of these guests on about this event, and it turned out we had Smoltz on about this, Maddox on about this, and it turned out to be an awesome event, and Steph Curry won it.
I was just going to utter the words, who cares about Steph Curry playing golf in some event? And then you just dawned on me that this was the event we've promoted.
This is the Lake Tahoe event that we had like 10 people on to promote, and it turned out to be awesome.
I think we had three in one day, Sean. You and I.
We did one each hour, 7, 8, 9.
We were basically there without being there, and you forgot.
We did Radio Row from Lake Tahoe.
I think Planet Steve-O was on as well.
Amazing. Moraz booked 16 guests to promote this event, and then it actually had an amazing weekend as Steph had a hole-in-one and then won it on an eagle on a 16-foot or 18-foot putt or something.
Yeah.
And Moraz was like, what event is this?
And people stayed at the end of this one too, Sean. They stayed the whole way to the end.
They're next to a lake.
I guess so.
You
dive right in.
What is this dopey golf tournament nobody cares about? Oh, the one that we've done a read for every week for 3 months?
It's fair. Next year, you're going to be in it.
Right.
Yeah, really.
True.
What? Who's in the Moraz golf tournament? Or the Sean Moraz golf tournament?
Yeah, there it is.
Kevin James. Ray Romano.
Joe Gattascoli.
Alf.
Joe Gattascoli.
Patton Oswalt.
Did you say Alf?
Alf is the
name. Alf. Patton Oswalt.
There's another guy, Gary Valentine. Is that his name? That's always in the Kevin James.
All the Kevin James people.
Billy Baldwin.
Billy Baldwin. The guy that played Larry in Three's Company.
Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy. No, Larry the Cable Guy is in this one.
No, that's right.
Yeah, Cooper Manning.
And Jack Stern.
Curry beat former tennis player Marty Fish. By the way, he had won this event 3 summers ago. As for the pros, Rory McIlroy birdied 17 and 18 to steal the Scottish Open yesterday, sending him off to Royal Liverpool for the British Open this week. He won the event the last time it was there. The Astros went deep five times, including twice in a four-run ninth for a 9-8 win in Anaheim last night. Houston remains three games behind Texas in the AL West, two games up on the Red Sox for the AL's last wild card spot. The Yankees also two back of the Astros after losing in Colorado on some kind of home run from Alan Trejo.
There's the 2-0. Swung on, and there it goes deep left field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Alan Trejo, it's a two-run home run. A solo home run, excuse me.
Oh, no.
Here in the bottom of the 11th, and Colorado wins 8-7.
855-29, never mind. You guys know.
No.
There was a two-run home run to tie 2-1, the game.
2-1-5-5-9-2, excuse me, 855.
Bottom 11.
592-0.
592.
The Bombers now 15-19 since Aaron Judge hurt his toe. The Titans were the first team to host DeAndre Hopkins. Now they are signing the free agent wideout. It'll reportedly be a two-year deal worth as much as $15 million in year one.
It also sounded like John Sterling, something happened in the booth.
He got hit by a ball.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
He got hit by Shohei. From Anaheim to Denver. The Phoenix Suns staying busy, signing forward Bol Bol. They trade campaign to the Spurs for a future second-round pick and to clear $24 million luxury tax, and they get three future number twos from Orlando for agreeing to a first-round pick swap in 2026. And Mexico fought off Panama 1-0 in Vegas to win its ninth Gold Cup, the most in the event's history.
Oh.
And we're getting stunned?
Oh, yeah!
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
And P.S., another decision we've got to make here because we stunned that doofus. If he's not here anymore, it's still called Stunned to a News?
I think so. Pete and I have had some brief conversations about this. I think it stays Stunned to a News. I think it's a signature on the show, and I don't think we have to change it just because Mraz is...
Do we bleep out his voice in the open, though?
The thing is, it's called it because he said it, so it's kind of weird to then call it without people knowing why.
What I did here still happened here, just because I'm leaving.
You should have other, like, guest voice people to do that.
Pete signing up for more work.
No, let's keep it the way it is.
Yep. This done, courtesy of Roddy2112 via Twitter DM. I think we've all seen the viral video by now of the sea otter wrestling away surfboards from humans in Santa Cruz, California. Marine biologists are concerned by the behavior because otters should not be approaching humans like this. They're afraid of what might happen next, so they've been trying to capture Otter 841 for the last week plus without any success. In fact, this otter, who has a blue tracking tag on a flipper, has been avoiding capture since last summer when it first acted erratically. Researchers say the otter is not following the normal behavioral patterns when it rests, when it eats, so figuring out a capture plan has been tough. Apparently, it's a smart otter, and it knows that nets are bad for it, so it stays away from those two. Once they catch it, it'll be evaluated and then sent to a zoo or an aquarium.
Oh, this is horrible.
Why?
Who are we to tell the otter how he should be behaving? If he's escaped there looking for him for a year, he's in his habitat, natural habitat. Now, you don't want him eating humans, but we also maybe should be in their water.
Eating humans?
Or surfboards or whatever. Eating stuff, like biting into that.
He's definitely not eating humans.
But the bottom line is this. They don't like his erratic behavior. He's an otter. Not all humans act the same. Let him live out. And we shouldn't be making that determination to drag him to SeaWorld.
All right, let me ask you a question, though. You take the girls to California. They're in the water on a little wake, you know, what do they call it? A little boogie board thing.
Uh-huh.
And this otter, who they've been looking for, who you've advocated leaving alone, takes a big swipe at your daughter and big cut of her leg, needs stitches. Are you okay with that, or are you angry because they didn't catch the otter?
I mean, I understand that I'm in their habitat, and every time I get in the ocean, I'm aware a shark could bite me.
Right, but like they actually have the ability to take this otter out of the mix of hurting somebody.
Okay, but who's to say the next Gary the Otter can't do that a year later?
Now, Is the otter hurting anybody, though? Or is he just...
Not yet. I think the fear is what would happen next.
So they think that he's a danger.
That, yeah, I guess when animals don't act the normal way, it makes them nervous that there's something going on inside the animal, and that could lead it to do something it would normally do, like take a bite of somebody, or I don't know what kind of claws, nails otters have.
But for now, he's not just kind of being like a playful little animal?
I mean, maybe, but there's only so much they can know without talking to otters, you know? So they're judging it by its behavior, and that's not great.
Yeah, the video itself seems like he's totally benign. He's just swimming alongside the other surfer, and he's, like, grabbing the surfboard. And you're like, aha, it's just like a little otter that's trying to latch onto the surfboard.
Isn't there one, though, where it, like, kind of makes a move towards the person and get it off the end of the surfboard to, like, really claim it?
I don't know.
But this, look, if this was a fox, and it was, like, coming down everybody's neighborhood block and acting erratically, yeah, tranquilize the fox and bring it to the zoo. We are the ones invading the otter's home, where the fox would be the one coming to our home. That's where I just disagree with it. He wants to act erratic, and you know what? Nature's nature. A whale eats him, a whale eats him. Let him go play that business with his friends.
I don't think whales eat otters.
You know what I mean, though? We should not be making that determination. Take him out of his habitat because we need to paddleboard.
Well, no, the difference between your examples, though, is... an otter doing something that otters don't normally do. When a shark bites you, you go, well, you're in the ocean. That's part of the otters.
How do we know what they do?
Because they, like this one, they tag them and they track them and they observe them. And
so we know because he's acting the same way. How do we know that the otters off of 200 miles off the coast of New Zealand aren't acting like that?
Because there's nobody surfing off the 200 miles off the coast of New Zealand.
Exactly. That's the thing. We don't know that it's a rat. It's just a different cat.
Well... I feel bad if the otter has to be removed just because he's being playful.
Right. If it's just being playful, I guess, is what you're trying to figure out here.
Yeah.
Because no one has seen, like, this is not a common practice, as far as anybody knows, is otters hijacking surfboards from humans.
And where is this?
Santa Cruz, California.
Cool Californian otter, right? Pretty cool. Otters, seals... coastal animals are kind of cool.
That just like hang out and just like sunbathe. Look like your fat uncle laying on a boardwalk.
Eat fish. Sea lions. Seals are really cool.
Otters are super smart. One of the few animals that can use tools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. They use a rock to smash open the clams and the oysters.
Yeah.
Or like their own tools. They're not turning a wrench or anything. Like I can't get an otter to change my oil.
No, unfortunately. Not yet. Not yet.
We're working on it.
If the vocational program
behavior.
That would be slightly erratic. But, you know, look, if the Garoppolos have their way, we'll have otters cycle through the vocational schools here soon.
Yeah, if an otter came up to me and was like, you want to use the Fram filter? I would think that's erratic behavior.
We got to get them into the trades. All right, thank you, folks. DA with you, CBS Sports Radio. I highly encourage you to watch the proceedings. That would be at YouTube or on Twitch. Either one of those has the CBS Sports Radio channel. Or at WatchDA.com. Because... now begins the fun this week, where we've got mystery guests every single day over the course of the week for Mraz's final week here on the show. It's known as the Mraz Chronicles. A man that, unless you really knew him, you might think he doesn't really exist. Could this guy be real? I'm going to take you back to the fall of 2018. In the fall of 2018... Mraz left the studios to go to the bathroom. Out in the hallway, he overheard a phone call. The phone call was by a young woman who worked here in the office ordering a chicken pesto sandwich. Joining us this morning here on the show via Zoom is Chicken Pesto Lady Caroline Murtaugh. Miss Chicken Pesto, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys? I miss you guys so much.
Holy cow, you look fantastic.
Thanks. I'm a little blonder, you know.
I love the glasses.
I'm so honored. I have to tell you, I'm so honored to be here. Like, man, oh man, I'm like, you like that, don't you, big guy? Like, I'm so excited to be here.
You're the best.
Yes. Well, hi, honey.
Hi, Caroline. Are you aging in reverse? This is crazy.
I love you guys. Well, I actually was overbiked. I'm back in Boston, living in Boston now, and I'm on the water. But we're getting what you guys have in New York. We're getting all the smoke. So literally smoke on the water, deep purple. The lighting was so weird. It looked like I was like Elvira in the dark. So I had to like move over. I'm like on this weird pillow on the floor, like up on the third floor at my offices. It was kind of crazy. So it's probably the lighting.
Well, you look fantastic. In the fall of 2018, Mraz went outside and you were ordering a chicken pesto hero. And he was he was in such love just hearing the order. And then your voice is so sultry that he was just enamored. And he came back in a fluster and said, I just heard the most amazing order ever, the most amazing order ever. A woman outside ordered a chicken pesto hero. Do you know how rare that is? A chicken. And he was really, it was like his heart was a flutter. And we couldn't tell whether it was the order or that you were attractive. And so we said, well, who was it? And he goes, I don't know. I don't know who it was. We have to find this lady. I said, well, let's go out and try to find her. And we spent a month to 2 months trying to piece together behind the scenes who could have done this. Finally, we had your friend in the office point us to you. And lo and behold, you came in. He was blindfolded. He took off the blindfold and said, oh, my God, it's you. It's you. It's Chicken Pesto Lady. And from there, we had this amazing relationship where you were a friend of the show. We relived that. But then also, you coached him through the SAT when we had him take the SAT.
Oh, my gosh, right. That's right.
So you have a long and storied history here on the show, and your famous phrases, you like that big boy, because when you were ordering the chicken pesto hero, you saw his eyes aglow and his mouth agape, and you turned to him, put your hand over the phone and said, yeah, you like that big boy, and knew it was the order that he loved. And so now, I mean, you're part of lore here on the show.
Like I said, I'm so honored. And, you know, I was listening before the break, and, you know, the top 50 Sports Illustrated most influential people. I mean, I'm sorry. They left two people off the list, EA and Mraz. I'm just saying, like, I am, again, so honored to be here, so honored to be part of the show. I'm proud of you, Sean. I'm excited for you, bummed for us who love listening to you. But, like, this is the highlight of my year, for sure.
You're a sweetheart. Mraz, tell us what made the chicken pesto hero order so special.
Well, number one, it's unique. You don't get a lot of people at lunch ordering pesto with anything, and it perks you up. And, you know, anybody could go, oh, chicken cutlet, bacon, mayonnaise. She went chicken. And her voice, as you hear it there, it's like, I don't know, Caroline. You just have this voice where it's pillowy, yet like a hint of cigarette-y. It is just
well,
so
I
perfect.
Was a smoker for years. Yeah. I quit 20 years ago.
But you did just enough damage on the pipes that it makes it sound so sultry. And you got the kind of
it's
order.
Like a fine, what do you call it? Like sandpaper.
Yeah. And look, and I'm sure, you know, married, not married, whatever your men in your life, I'm sure it's nice to hear you pick out a movie. But hearing you pick out a sandwich in that voice, I mean, that's the stuff of legends there.
You mentioned mayonnaise. First of all, mayonnaise is for amateurs. Like,
okay. All right.
Never. You know what I mean? And like the extra cheese, the extra pesto, the extra sauce. Like, and I could see you, like, I knew. I was like, this guy's getting hot right now. And it's not because of me. It's because of the sandwich. And well, I was just so, and I like, honestly, I'm like, I know I lied to him. I'm like, you like that, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If there's a 400-pound woman that sounds like Fran Drescher, I'm not exactly getting turned on by the chicken pesto sandwich. You know, it was a combination of all those things. But
extra
it was
pesto!
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly, no.
I know, we get to see her because of the strike all the time now, too.
She's the president of SAG-AFTRA.
Go away.
That's right.
So take us back to the SAT, Caroline, when you were coaching Mraz here in studio when he had avoided taking the SAT through high school, and then we finally wanted to know what the what the score would be. He was taking it live on air, and you were coaching him. Take us through that process.
So, I had forgotten about that until you just mentioned it. And I remember that day, like, I was really, like, feeling under the weather. It was before COVID, so it wasn't COVID, but I was definitely sick. So I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, Sean, I'm like stupid this morning. I'm not clear-headed. I was like, any answer that I was trying to give him the answers. But I have to say, and this is the truth, I was prepared to totally coach him, beyond coach him, cheat. Let's call it what it was. Right? But I have to say, very smart guy. He knew, like, don't you think, Sean? Like, there was very few times where you had to be coached, prodded, told the answer. Like, you knew your stuff.
Carolyn, there was, like, major controversy after the fact because DA didn't know how to grade the SATs, which was part of the issue. We should have known that beforehand. But
I forgot about that.
Yeah, what gets lost in it, and you're absolutely right, is that I was stunned at how much I actually knew. Like, that was the thing. Yeah, there were certain things like math you would help me out with, a little, you know, double checking and all of that. But yeah, there was a good chunk there where I was like, wow, I know this stuff. And I walked out of there a brilliant man.
You did. I would have been a good tutor, but you knew stuff. You did. Yeah. You really did.
Well,
right. I'm looking at that clip, that guy that owned the football league that kind of went, oh, yeah.
Yes. Simultaneously, as Mraz took the SAT and Caroline coached him, Oliver Luck, the president of the XFL at the time, I believe, the commissioner, was in talking about the XFL delivering us a Valentine's Day gift. It was a chaotic day that day.
They ended up suing the XFL.
I think that was 2 months or a month before COVID, too, I think.
So that's why I think I had COVID. I can't remember.
That's why I'm not kidding.
I was really foggy. I was like patient zero on the PA.
Well, what was interesting that day was that you actually didn't need to coach Mraz through the written process or the science questions. You just needed to put him at ease. That was the whole thing. He was very nervous and anxiety-ridden. And with your voice, and you were dressed up as the sexy school teacher, I don't even know if you meant to be dressed up like that, but that's what it reminded us all of. You had put him at ease, and you were kind of like very soothing. And remember, that was a key, Mraz, that if Caroline wasn't there, you would have been frazzled. But instead, it felt like you were literally having your hand held.
She was totally calming her voice. Take it easy, big boy. Take it easy, big boy. We got this.
As I always say, just relax.
Are you sure these numbers add together? Okay, relax. No, she's absolutely right. Oh, Oliver Luck spins out what beer snakes are going to look like with the DC Defenders. How is Oliver Luck not more confused? Forget me. She should have tutored him.
Yeah, Oliver Luck should have. And he was in studio. Oliver Luck should have been very distracted.
It was a crazy morning. It really was. It was hilarious, but it was bananas.
So you're living in Boston now, and you're working for our Boston affiliate there.
So I actually kind of have, I don't even know what I do. I have like 16 jobs at Odyssey. So I have an expanded role. So
sounds
I
about right.
Represent every radio station we have. And I'm also in charge of the remnant inventory.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hello. So, like, you know, the ED stuff and everything that nobody wants to listen to. You're welcome. You're welcome. That crazy Lume deodorant that I can't even like stomach. That's me. It's bad. It's awful. And then I don't know. I do some other stuff, but yeah, I'm still around. I was trying to get there live, Sean. I wanted to be there live, but I have a meeting here with Comcast this afternoon, and they're located, believe it or not, their headquarters is in New Hampshire. So.
Wow. Caroline, seeing you on Zoom is totally worth it. Dang. You know, you're still in the company, so this is great.
Yeah, I know. And I'll get to see you guys soon because I'll be in New York, like, hopefully before Labor Day.
Okay. Well, this summer, if you're down here in New York, come by. We'll have you on the show again, and we'll chop it up, okay?
Absolutely. I love you guys. Congratulations, Sean. DA, congratulations to you too, Daddy.
Oh, thanks very much. I'm surviving. Survive in advance.
You look great, and I know you're going to be a great father. I know you already are.
Thank you, Caroline. You're the best. Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Okay, see ya.
See ya.
Caroline Murtaugh, a.k.a. Miss Chicken Pesto, joining us. She looks fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah, Daddy. Yeah.
Wow.
DA
with you, CBS Sports Radio. I highly encourage you to watch the proceedings. That would be at YouTube or on Twitch. Either one of those has the CBS Sports Radio channel, or at watchda.com. Because now begins the fun this week, where we've got mystery guests every single day over the course of the week for Mraz's final week here on the show. It's known as the Mraz Chronicles. A man that, unless you really knew him, you might think he doesn't really exist. Could this guy be real? I'm going to take you back to the fall of 2018. In the fall of 2018, Mraz left the studios to go to the bathroom. Out in the hallway, he overheard a phone call. The phone call was by a young woman who worked here in the office ordering a chicken pesto sandwich. Joining us this morning here on the show via Zoom is chicken pesto lady Caroline Murtaugh. Miss Chicken Pesto, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys? I miss you guys so much.
Holy cow, you look fantastic.
Thanks. I'm a little blonder, you know.
I love the glasses.
I'm so honored. I have to tell you, I'm so honored to be here. Like, man, oh man, I'm like, you like that, don't you, big guy? Like, I'm so excited to be here.
You're the best.
Yes. Well, hi, honey.
Hi, Caroline. Are you aging in reverse? This is crazy.
Oh, God. I love you guys. Well, I actually was over by, I'm back in Boston, living in Boston now, and I'm on the water. But we're getting what you guys have in New York. We're getting all the smoke. So literally smoke on the water, deep purple. The lighting was so weird. It looked like I was like Elvira in the dark. So I had to like move over. I'm like on this weird pillow on the floor, like up on the third floor of my offices. It was kind of crazy. So it's probably the lighting.
Well, you look fantastic. In the fall of 2018, Mraz went outside and you were ordering a chicken pesto hero. And he was he was in such love just hearing the order. And then your voice is so sultry that he was just enamored. And he came back in a fluster and said, I just heard the most amazing order ever, the most amazing order ever. A woman outside ordered a chicken pesto hero. Do you know how rare that is? A chicken. And he was really, it was like his heart was a flutter. And we couldn't tell whether it was the order or that you were attractive. And so we said, well, who was it? And he goes, I don't know who it was. We have to find this lady. I said, well, let's go out and try to find her. And we spent a month to 2 months trying to piece together behind the scenes who could have done this. Finally, we had your friend in the office point us to you. And lo and behold, you came in. He was blindfolded. He took off the blindfold and said, oh my God, it's you! It's you! It's Chicken Pesto Lady! And from there, we had this amazing relationship where you were a friend of the show. We relived that. But then also, you coached him through the SAT when we had him take
SAT. Oh my gosh, right! That's right!
So you have a long and storied history here on the show, and your famous phrase is, you like that big boy, because when you were ordering the chicken pesto hero, you saw his eyes aglow and his mouth agape, and you turned to him, put your hand over the phone and said, yeah, you like that big boy, and knew it was the order that he loved. And so now, I mean, you're part of lore here on the show.
Like I said, I'm so honored. And, you know, I was listening before the break, and, you know, the top 50 Sports Illustrated most influential people. I mean, I'm sorry. They left two people off the list, DA and Mraz. I'm just saying, like, I am, again, so honored to be here, so honored to be part of the show. I'm proud of you, Sean. I'm excited for you, bummed for us who love listening to you. But, like, this is the highlight of my year, for sure.
You're a sweetheart. Mraz, tell us what made the chicken pesto hero order so special.
Well, number one, it's unique. You don't get a lot of people at lunch ordering pesto with anything, and it perks you up. But, you know, anybody could go, oh, chicken cutlet, bacon, mayonnaise. She went chicken. And her voice, as you hear it there, it's like, I don't know, Caroline. You just have this voice where it's pillowy, yet like a hint of cigarette-y. It is just
well,
so
I was
perfect.
A smoker for yeah. years. Yeah. I quit 20 years ago.
But you did just yeah. enough damage on the pipes that it makes it sound so sultry. And you got the kind
it's,
of
it's
order.
Like a fine, what do you call it? Like sandpaper.
Yeah. yeah. And look, and I'm sure, you know, married, not married, whatever your men in your life, I'm sure it's nice to hear you pick out a movie. But hearing you pick out a sandwich in that voice, I mean, that's the stuff of legends there. That
well,
gets
the thing
you going.
Is, like you mentioned mayonnaise. First of all, mayonnaise is for amateurs. Like,
okay. All right.
Never. You know what I mean? And like the extra cheese, the extra pesto, the extra sauce. Like,
oh,
it
yeah.
just. And I could see you, like, I knew. I was like, this guy's getting hot right now. And yes. it's not because of me. It's because of the sandwich. And
well,
that's why I was just so, and I like, honestly, I'm like, I know I lied to him. I'm like that, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If there's a 400-pound woman that sounds like Fran Drescher, I'm not exactly getting turned on by the chicken pesto sandwich. You know, it was a combination of all those things. But
extra
it was
pesto.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, exactly. No.
I know. We get to see her because of the strike all the time.
Now, too. Yeah. The she's nanny. The
like
after.
80. Go away.
That's right.
So take us back to the SAT, Caroline, when you were coaching Mraz here in studio when he had avoided taking the SAT through high school. And then we finally wanted to know what the score would be. He was taking it live on air and you were coaching him. Take us through that process.
So I had forgotten about that until you just mentioned it. And I remember that day, like I was really like feeling under the weather. It was before COVID. So it wasn't COVID, but I was definitely sick. So I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, Sean, I'm like stupid this morning. I'm not clear headed. I was like any answer that I was trying to give him the answers, but I have to say, and this is the truth. I was prepared to totally coach him, beyond coach him, cheat, let's call it what it was. Right? But I have to say, very smart guy. He knew, like, I don't you think, Sean? Like,
oh,
there was very
definitely.
Few times where you had to be coached, prodded, told the answer. Like, you knew your stuff.
Carolyn, there was, like, major controversy after the fact because DA didn't know how to grade the SATs, which was part of the issue. We should have known that beforehand. But
oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, what gets lost in it, and you're absolutely right, is that I was stunned at how much I actually knew. Like, that was the thing. Yeah, there were certain things like math you would help me out with, a little, you know, double checking and all of that. But, yeah, there was a good chunk there where I was like, wow, I'm on it. I know this stuff. And, I walked out of there a brilliant man.
You did. I would have been a good tutor, but you knew stuff. You did.
Yeah.
You really did.
Well,
right. I'm looking at that clip, that guy that owned the football league that kind of went, oh, yeah.
Yes. Simultaneously, as Mraz took the SAT and Caroline coached him, Oliver Luck, the president of the XFL at the time, I believe, the commissioner, was in talking about the XFL delivering us a Valentine's Day gift. It was a chaotic day that day.
Oh my gosh, it was crazy.
I think that was 2 months or a month before COVID, too, I think.
Was it?
So that's why I think I had COVID. I can't remember.
That's
like,
why
I'm not getting it. I was really foggy. I was like patient zero on the
Well, what was interesting that day was that you actually didn't need to coach Mraz through the written process or the science questions. You just needed to put him at ease. That was the whole thing. He was very nervous and anxiety ridden. And with your voice, and you were dressed up as the sexy school teacher, I don't even know if you meant to be dressed up like that, but that's what it reminded us all of. You had put him at ease, and you were kind of like very soothing. And remember, that was a key, Mraz, that if Caroline wasn't there, you would have been frazzled. But instead, it felt like you were literally having your hand held.
She was totally calming. Her voice, take it easy, big boy. Take it easy, big boy.
This.
We got this.
As I always say, just relax.
Are you sure these numbers add together? Okay, relax. No, she's absolutely right. Oh, Oliver Luck spins out what beer snakes are going to look like with the DC Defenders. How is Oliver Luck not more confused? Forget me. She should have tutored him.
Yeah, Oliver Luck should have. And he was in studio. Oliver Luck should have been very distracted.
It was a crazy morning. It really was. It was hilarious, but it was bananas.
So you're living in Boston now, and you're working for our Boston affiliate there.
So I actually kind of have, I don't even know what I do. I have like 16 jobs at Boston. So I have an expanded role. So
Sounds about right.
I represent every radio station we have. And I'm also in charge of the remnant inventory.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hello. So, like, you know, the ED stuff and everything that nobody wants to listen to, you're welcome. You're welcome. That crazy Lume deodorant that I can't even, like, stomach, that's me. It's bad. It's awful. And then, I don't know, I do some other stuff. But, yeah, I'm still around. I was trying to get there live, Sean. I wanted to be there live, but I have a meeting here with Comcast this afternoon, and they're located, believe it or not, their headquarters is in New Hampshire. So,
wow. Caroline, seeing you on Zoom is totally worth it. Dang, you know, you're still in the company, so this is great.
Yeah, I know. And I'll get to see you guys soon because I'll be in New York, like, hopefully before Labor Day.
Okay. Well, this summer, if you're down here in New York, come by. We'll have you on the show again and we'll chop it up, okay?
Absolutely. I love you guys. Congratulations, Sean. DA, congratulations to you too, Daddy.
Oh, thanks very much. I'm surviving. Survive in advance.
You look great, and I know you're going to be a great father. I know you already are.
Thank you, Caroline. You're the best. Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Okay, see ya.
See ya.
Caroline Murtaugh, a.k.a. Miss Chicken Pesto, joining us. She looks fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Daddy. Yeah.
Wow.
She got tabs on everybody. It's great. What a track down.
Tan, glasses, yeah. That voice.
An executive vice president?
She's high.
We should be careful, huh?
She's really high on
I
those.
Know what I'm getting for lunch today. I'll tell you that.
She is very high on the executive list.
High enough that she could trash certain things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. You know how powerful you are based on how much you're allowed to trash publicly what happens at your job.
Right. Or she'll be demoted to Sean's job by next Monday.
We could put her in the mix for Why executive not? Producer.
Yeah.
That would help us on Radio Row.
It's everything we've asked.
Go back.
You asked me one time to profile, and I said basically the opposite of Sean, a female, in shape, qualified, educated.
Successful.
Successful. Done.
Done.
Check.
And she said she holds 16 jobs at Odyssey. What's a 17?
Yeah.
Hard hat gal.
Hard hat gal. That's right.
Hard hat gal.
Based on what you do, it's really half a job.
It's barely a job for Caroline if she's doing all that other stuff.
Yeah.
If all you have to do is sit in here for 4 hours a day, make stupid jokes. That's it.
Yeah. Book a guest here and there.
I love that that's what my job has been boiled down to.
By you.
Yeah, you said that.
And the company. That matter. Hey, go stand on the bar again. You have a Panthers jersey?
No, yeah, the mop thing is good. Keep doing that mop thing.
Where's that mop? Is there a Yankee mop variation available? How does that work?
We'll pay for your ring camera. Go outside and yell again.
Go outside and yell again.
Get him 32 NFL jerseys. He's got to wipe his behind with all of them.
Yeah.
Just sign here.
Here. Sign here.
Right there.
Here, sign here. Sign here. Initial here. Just initials. That's fine. Right. Okay. And perfect. Now, that gentleman's mop thing.
And drop that Mraz moniker. We're going to go with Sean Morash.
Yes. We like that. But we still want the mop. You got the mop, right?
Have you done anything with a Swiffer?
It's like hiring Gallagher to come play your comedy show. You got the mallet, right? It's fine, whatever the act is, but you got the mallet and the watermelon?
How big is the watermelon?
You provide your own watermelon, right?
In the case it comes in, right?
We've got this new Lume deodorant. How do you work that into a Yankee take?
Can you throw it against the wall?
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Since this is the final week of Mraz on the Show, we are asking you guys, how do you want us to play this week? Do you want us to do mainly Remember Mraz Week, or just do the regular sports show and let the Mraz stuff leak in? And it's almost a 50-50 split. 51% of you think just do the regular show. 49% say do more Mraz. Now, data tells us the one thing Mraz is very concerned with in his departure is the handling of the 12 DAs moving forward, which it's true that might be the most important duty the new producer has to handle. Archiving, ranking, producing, all of that. Mraz swallowed water in Lake George last week and did taste salt. Mraz believes this proves his theory right, that all lakes, rivers, and every body of water on Earth is salt water. And the DA show once went 4 months without sports, doing a lot of Mraz instead. Some call that the pandemic. All right, so throughout this week, we're doing the Chronicles of Mraz, and earlier in the morning, we had Chicken Pesto Lady, and the story goes she went out to go to the bathroom, and there was a woman, an executive, who was making a phone call, and she was ordering lunch, and she ordered a chicken pesto sandwich, Chicken Pesto Hero, and he was in such awe of the order and of her sultry voice, she noticed it, turned around and said, "Yeah, you like that, big boy?" And he just came scurrying back here, his heart aflutter. It took us months to track down who she was. We didn't know who that was. We just had to do a search around the entire building and finally got to who it was, and we called her Miss Chicken Pesto Lady. Well, we had Miss Chicken Pesto Lady back on the show this morning in hour number three, if you want to go back and watch that on YouTube. But here is the original reveal. First, we'll play how Miss Chicken Pesto Lady approached seeing Mraz as he was blindfolded in studio.
He looks like a big boy, and that's something you would have said to him.
Oh, I definitely would have.
I am a big boy.
I would have covered the phone. I would have done the whole thing. Like, you like that, big boy? But I would have followed up with the chicken pesto sandwich. I would have found him.
You would have found
him. Oh, I would have split it right in half, and we would have eaten it together.
And given him a half.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. I mean, you can't leave a guy like that hanging.
No, you can't.
You know what I mean? Like, how sensational is that?
I know what you mean.
You know?
Mraz with a blindfold on, just hearing her voice and saying, "I am a big boy," is amazing. I am a big boy. So Mraz has a blindfold on. We finally take off the blindfold, and here was the reveal.
It's her.
It's gotta be. It's gotta be. Okay, Mraz, you can take off the blindfold now and tell us if this is Miss Chicken Pesto.
Yes, it's the hair! Yay! It's the hair! I haven't seen her!
That's her!
Yay!
What a bowl like of joy you are.
Big boy.
That's amazing! You like that, big boy? I am a big boy. I am a big boy. Don't leave me hanging. I am a big boy.
I was all loosey-goosey that day.
Loosey-goosey. Do we know where Chicken Pesto ranked on the 12 DAs? I wonder where that ended up finishing.
I might be able to get you that answer by the end of the fail.
Probably not number one, but must have been very high, a top three.
What year was it? 2017?
2018. That was fall of 2018.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, I will look.
So let's get to the fail. What did we choose as the fail today?
Oh, the fail is that I've told the bosses I'm not eating.
Oh, yeah. And
Shawnee's making a move.
Mraz is going to the new show on the local network, in the local station in that city, and he's going, "No crazy bits from me. I'm not just going to be your show pony."
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
You said there's no work to be done, though.
Yeah, there's always work to be done.
Go ahead, caller. You're on with Dingo and the Baby.
I don't know.
Just not work as we understand work to be done. It's more
chair.
Mental work.
What?
Mental just, work.
Okay, so you have to watch more baseball. You watch both of the football teams.
Yeah, and I have to work on my patience and not overreacting every day.
Excuse me, 6'4".
On Twitter?
On a microphone?
On the microphone, they want you to do that.
I'm done eating. I told him that. Okay. I'm not the eating guy.
Yeah. You told him that?
Yeah. I said I'm not stuffing my mouth with a bunch of stuff. I need to healthier me now.
Whoa! Is it because you want to be healthier or because you don't want to be seen as a sideshow?
No, I want to be healthier. If I'm going to not sleep 4 hours a day and get a little more sleep, the least I could owe my body back is a little respect.
chicken finger into a beer.
Wow. You told them you're not going to eat stuff on air?
Yeah, I said I'm not going to be the, you know, throwing hot dogs down my mouth. Don't worry about that, I was told. So,
wow.
You know, look, Shawnee's making a move, all right? He's
telling you, this is it.
Some of the best drivers in the world from all different disciple lines.
Shawnee's made a move.
Yeah, you get crazy. I'm naturally animated. I don't make up, so you get that part of me.
Why do you think that they wanted you to change your name to your real name? What's their thing?
All I was told, and I really don't know. I will just tell you the only quote I was told was, quote, "I hate nicknames. Go by your name." But it dawns on me that that was told
that the
to me,
boss?
Yeah, it was dawned on me that was told to me by a boss that actually goes professionally by a nickname.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Our boss told Mraz he hates nicknames even though he has a nickname. And Mraz once said, "I hate initials."
How about that? And Boomer, also a nickname.
That's true. Derek in Pittsburgh. I guess, is Tiki a nickname?
Yes. Yeah, it's not his real name, yeah.
It's shortened.
It's shortened,
a
sure.
A team is his first name.
Mm-hmm. Derek in Pittsburgh tweets, any non-hockey bacon segment that Boyle does should simply be called Boyle's Balls. I can hear the voice guy's intro now. We're still working on that. The Nutty P tweets, I can't believe Mraz is leaving. I'm the guy watching the 12 DAs from 2018 because of him. Where does the salt go? Where did Chicken Pesto Lady rank in the 2018 12 DAs?
Number four. It was number four. Number one that year was Torg Bellinger.
Hard to top Torg. Still might be the number one of all the number ones.
Number two was the eating of the salsa, where you and Heel Should Not Be Named were choking up and putting down ice cream.
The first death by salsa.
Yeah. Number three was some kind of moment where Heel Should Not Be Named made me storm at a studio, I guess, when you guys were obsessed with the singing. Number four was Chicken Pesto. Number five was just labeled Jody Mac Dies on the Air.
Sounds about right. That sounds like 2018 in a nutshell.
That does. Yep. It's the year of the Jody.
Well, all this week we're doing secret guests from the decade that has been, to salute Mraz. And so make sure you are locked in every single morning here. He doesn't know what's coming. None of the guys really do. So I'm excited about tomorrow in a big way. And we will crescendo with Friday's show. So there's a lot to do, a lot to listen to. If there's certain requests, we'll take requests. If you want to tweet at us, DA on CBS, or email me. We'll also probably set up a few producer interviews as well for On Air. I think there's still listeners that have not gotten an interview yet, and you have to top Dana Mechanicsburg, who has zoomed to the top of the list by virtue of just a laugh. But it's such a good laugh, it's impossible not to make him number one. I think it's Dana Mechanicsburg, one, Boyle, two, and then we've got to figure out the threes and the fours.
I like the guy from Kansas or Oklahoma. You seem to have a good resume, the newspapers.
Dan in Kansas.
Yeah, yeah. He'll learn wrestling for Pete.
And everybody said they would be a good teammate to Pete, so that's important as well. All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio a director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. We will see you tomorrow for Trash Tuesday. I'm DA, and the Mothership disconnects.